Welcome to Velocity, the Vista Chamber podcast. I'm your host, Chamber CEO Rachel Beld, and it's my privilege to interview the movers, shakers, and change makers impacting our amazing Vista community and beyond. Today, we're talking about energy, specifically the city's new energy partner, Clean Energy Alliance, CEA. And we have two expert guests here today to tell us all about this new partnership and what it means for residents and businesses. Before we dig into the details, let me tell you a little bit about our guests. First, joining us today is Greg Wade, the CEO of Clean Energy Alliance. He was appointed to this role in September of 2023, and he has a background in municipal management, having previously served as the city manager for the city of Solana Beach. During his tenure, he was a key player in the launch of the Solana Energy Alliance, which was San Diego County's first Community Choice Aggregate Program, or CCA. We'll learn more about that in a moment. Also joining us is Deputy Mayor Katie Melendez, who serves as the Vice Chair on the Board of Directors for Clean Energy Alliance. She was elected to the Vista City Council in 2020 and represents District 3 neighborhoods. She was born and raised in Vista and is a first-generation college graduate. Deputy Mayor Melendez served as an AmeriCorps member where she coordinated volunteers and supported people with disabilities. She has experience working with local nonprofit organizations and providing social services and substance abuse treatment for people experiencing homelessness. Her work in local government includes initiating the overnight safe parking program for people sleeping in their cars, spearheading the removal of toxic pesticides from city parks, and implementing traffic calming infrastructure on neighborhood streets. Deputy Mayor Melendez also serves on the Board of Directors for the San Diego Association of Government, SANDAG, and represents the City of Vista on the Housing Committee for the League of California Cities. Welcome, Greg and Katie. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Great to be here.
Thank you for having us, Rachel. Yes. This is fun.
Great. Thank you. Okay. We have some pretty big changes coming to our community regarding electricity and power. And when there are changes in our community, I oftentimes want to know why and how this came to be. And so I'm curious if you could please tell me, what is CEA and how did it start? Please.
Okay. Well, CEA is Clean Energy Alliance, okay. And it's a community choice aggregator of energy. And CCAs, community choice aggregators, aggregation started with an assembly bill back in 2002, 2003, AB 117, coming out of the energy crisis, if you will, to provide customers with more opportunity, more choice, local control, and allow cities, agencies, whether they be cities or government or counties rather, to aggregate energy for the benefit of their customers. So what we do, and we are a partner with SDG&E, we do not take over any delivery or transmission or distribution services. SDG&E continues to do that. We buy and generate renewable energy, primarily renewable energy, for the benefit of our customers. And we do so by, as I said, coordinating with SDG&E to be the what's called an energy service provider for customers, businesses, and residents in areas of the city. And Vista will be launching this along with Oceanside on April 1st. So it's really an opportunity for cities, and I'm sure the vice chair will have some comments about this, for cities to meet their climate action plan goals, because without joining a community choice program, it will be very difficult, if not impossible, to meet the renewable energy goals that the state of California has mandated. And it's a way to get cleaner energy into the grid and to also provide options and choices to our customers, and to provide local programs that benefit the local community, things like providing additional access to solar and battery storage for residents and businesses, and to create what is commonly referred to as distributed microgrid projects within the communities to help serve the energy needs of the community. So it's a long-winded answer. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, if you'd like me to expand on any of that, it's really a way for local government to provide cleaner, greener energy into the grid on behalf of the customers. Nothing changes about the bills that customers receive. You get the bill, same as always, from SDG&E, and we are the energy provider on that bill.
Okay.
Now, a key thing to keep in mind is that of your bill, there's two sides to that. SDG&E will be responsible for what's commonly referred to as delivery. Think the overhead and underground wires and transmission distribution network. and then the energy or generation, which is CEA, which typically on average makes up about 25 to 30% of your overall bill.
Okay.
And so that's important to understand that we're just that energy side of the bill, and we're out in the community trying to make that clear to people and providing insight as to how to read your bill and how the benefits of this program will impact the community.
I want to make sure I understand. Mm-hmm. The word aggregate means basically bundling, right?
Well,
that's what a community choice aggregator, you're bundling.
Well, I want to be clear because there's a very technical term. Okay. When you talk about bundled service from SDG&E, they're talking about the delivery and the generation all being provided by SDG&E. That's a bundled customer.
Okay.
An unbundled customer is when just the delivery is provided by SDG&E, and a community choice aggregator like CEA is providing, procuring, generating the energy and buying and selling it and providing it to the customers. Now, the word aggregation means that different cities and agencies, the counties and local governments, they aggregate their energy load and buy and sell energy on behalf of those aggregated groups of entities. So that's what aggregation means in that acronym.
Okay, cool. Okay, so Katie, what's the city's climate action plan and what does it have to do with clean energy?
So the City of Vista Climate Action Plan is a guiding document that helps us to address climate-related issues. So when we think about climate change, we know that it can have a global and local impact. And we have a climate action plan because our city wants to play a part in addressing climate change here at home. And our goal with our climate action plan is to reduce emissions 40% below 2012 levels by 2030.
That's pretty ambitious.
It is ambitious, yeah. Right? And we can't do it alone. So in order to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, certainly we can all drive electric vehicles. We can plant trees for carbon sequestration. But one of the main ways that we can address our greenhouse gas emissions is the energy that we're using. So rather than opting for a non-renewable energy sources like gas or coal, a lot of customers want to contribute to climate action efforts by choosing renewable energy like solar and wind and even new technologies. And so when we try as individuals to utilize those services, we can accomplish our goals, but it's much more effective for us as an entire city to come together along with the City of Vista and say, we're all going to move forward with renewable energy options. And that's why the City of Vista leadership, our Vista City Council, and the mayor move forward with CEA, because we want to give the community options so that they can reduce their greenhouse gas emissions through their energy usage. So now that we're a member of CEA, we get to join with other cities, right, and having more options. CEA has more renewable options than SDG&E. And we'll probably talk a little bit more about the variety of products and packages that CEA offers. But ultimately, we're leading the way with CEA and Vista because we know that it's the only way that we're going to be able to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by coming together and really doing a larger program and project like this.
Okay. And so, Greg, when we talk about renewable energy, so the place that CEA creates energy or how they create energy or where they get the energy, it seems really nebulous if you're not familiar with the industry and how energy is created. So, you know, traditionally people would receive their energy a very specific way, and now there are more options. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what these options are and what they mean?
Well, so let me back up just a second before I get to the answer to give a little bit more background. So as you mentioned, the City of Solana Beach was the first city to form a city-only community choice aggregation program, CCA, called Solana Energy Alliance, with always the vision of expanding to neighborhoods or sorry, to neighbors and creating a regional agency. And so we did that and expressly to, as was just mentioned, to meet that city's climate action plan goals. Again, ambitious goals to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and to go to cleaner, greener, renewable energy sources. The cities of Carlsbad, Del Mar, Encinitas, and Oceanside had been working on this plan to expand and join forces. So that happened shortly after we launched. Carlsbad and Del Mar created Clean Energy Alliance. Encinitas decided to go with San Diego Community Power, which is a CCA in the southern part of the county. And now we've expanded to include the cities of Del Mar, Solana Beach, Carlsbad. And then about a year ago, we launched in Escondido and San Marcos, and now we're launching in Oceanside and Vista. So seven agencies. The renewable energy that was previously provided by SDG&E comes in basically two forms. One, utility-owned generation, where they're generating energy, that they have facilities that generate that energy. And they also buy and sell energy on the open market.
Okay.
From renewable and non-renewable energy sources throughout California, the West, Washington, Utah, New Mexico, Wyoming, and those kinds of places. And so what CCAs do is they focus more on renewable energy. And so to meet those climate action plan goals, we've established three energy products that we're buying in the open market. The first is called Clean Impact. It's 50% renewable. And then the rest of the energy is from traditional sources. And the second is Clean Impact Plus, which is 50% renewable and 75% greenhouse gas free, which is it's a little technical how it can be GHG free, but not considered renewable. And then 100% renewable energy product. So the cities have, again, with ambitious goals, all decided to be the default product at the 75% GHG free. So all seven cities have done that. Cities like the city of Vista, the city of Solana Beach have decided to opt up to 100% renewable for their municipal accounts, which is a great example to set for the community and for these aggressive renewable energy goals. So now, instead of SDG&E providing that energy, CEA and in the South, SDCP, they're buying and generating, where possible, their own renewable energy. So we buy wind and solar within California. We buy it from New Mexico. We buy hydro from Washington. So wherever in the Western area that we can buy these renewable energy resources, we're buying them and then providing them into the grid in California for our customers.
So on the customer side, I live here in Vista. I'm a resident. I'm going to get something in the mail and it's going to tell me, hey, we have this new energy provider or this, and you have been automatically selected for this MID program, which provides the 75% clean that you mentioned. And I can decide then as a consumer, if I want to stick with that plan, if I want to opt down to maybe a slightly less environmentally friendly plan or a more environmentally friendly plan. And I'm assuming that the main difference then besides the environmental impact is the cost to the consumer.
Right.
So folks who are able to and who want to can pay a little bit more to have fully renewable, or if they're concerned about the cost and they could opt down as well. Is that,
That's correct.
Okay.
You explained that quite well. And to your point, yes, under state law, we're required to send out notices 60 days in advance of the launch. So the first notices were sent out at the beginning of February, and they're in phases. And then the next notices are going out this month. So it's known as the 60-day opt-out notice. There's another notice that's required within the next 30 days. And then after launch, there's a 30-day notice to, again, inform the customers that this program has started, and giving them the chance to opt up, opt down, or opt out.
So they can opt out completely and just stick with SDG&E's energy if they want to.
That's correct. And one thing I want to make clear, and Vice Chair Melendez and I, we meet regularly on a quarterly basis with SDG&E, and they're our partner. They're always going to be the distribution and delivery group for or company for our energy. And they have expressly stated their desire to only be in the delivery side. So beyond the environmental goals, the renewable energy into the grid and the positive things that we're doing on that front, we've got our IOU, which stands for Investor-Owned Utility, saying that they want to focus on delivery. So it's not just a matter of us saying this is an option for you. It's saying that this could be the only option in the years to come. Okay. So, you know, this is an opportunity to get in on this right now.
Can I speak to that too? Right. We're moving away from traditional energy sources and we're giving customers more options for renewable energy. And customers will have a choice of what level of renewable and greenhouse gas free product they want to have in their homes and in their businesses. And they can, of course, opt out completely. The only thing that is not changing is the reliability. And reliability is really important to us. We want to make sure that people can still have their regular lives function, maybe even be optimized in some ways because you know that you're actually using an environmentally friendly product. Mm-hmm. So although the products are going to be changing by default, and you'll have the opportunities to choose from a greater variety of products, you're going to have greater reliability. And that's because CEA is prudent in making sure that we are acquiring the level of renewable energy that we need to meet customer demands. And also because SDG&E transmission is reliable and we are going to continue to work with them so that we can deliver that green energy to people's homes.
That's great. And so, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you for bringing up that point. That is an excellent point because every load serving entity like a CCA, CEA, and others throughout the state of California, there are now 25 in the state of California, they are required to procure energy. And I don't want to get too wonky here, but what's known as resource adequacy, which is an overage of the load demanded on some of the highest peak times of, say, the summer.
So you have to have extra in your bank.
Yes. Excess energy. So with all these load-serving entities with excess energy, that enhances the reliability of the grid, meaning that on those peak days, energy will continue to be available. And so from a reliability perspective, it enhances it. And then when you have your IOU saying, we want to focus on delivery.
What's an IOU?
Investor-owned utility.
There's
SDG&E,
yes.
PG&E up north, and SoCal Edison in Central California.
Got it.
So when you have an IOU saying, we want to focus on delivery, and to their credit, they have. They've, in response to wildfires, for example, that we've had, and they've done a really good job at protecting against those events in recent past. So when you have somebody focusing that much on the delivery side, and then you have these load serving entities with this energy procured on behalf of the customers, it does enhance reliability. So I appreciate you bringing that point up. The other thing I'll say is beyond the ability to pay for or choose your renewable energy volume with CEA, there are programs that we are going to be launching, and we are launching one right now, a Solar Plus program, which will provide no upfront cost solar panels and a battery wall, a Tesla battery wall, for residents who wish to take advantage of this program. And one of the objectives here is to get into the market. There's no credit requirement with this program. Get into the market of people who ordinarily wouldn't be able to go out and buy a system like this.
To add solar to your home is incredibly expensive. And in a lot of cases, it's cost prohibitive for people who really want to take advantage of that. So I want to hear more about that. I wanted to ask Katie, though, what is the city doing to help get the word out about all of these programs, all of the things that are happening, the options that people have? I mean, obviously we're sitting down here today. That's one way. So my mom's going to know all about it. So that's great. But what are some ways the city is helping to get the word out?
Great question. And as City of Vista Deputy Mayor and also Vice Chair of CEA, it's really important for me that we have a successful launch. We are going to be rolling out these new clean energy programs come April 1st. So we want the community to be empowered and informed and enthusiastic about their new energy options. You know, they're going to have more options on the shelf, and we want them to know what is available in the market for them. The City of Vista is working closely with Clean Energy Alliance to coordinate community events, making sure that we have a presence at the Strawberry Festival and the Vista Farmers Market that we're visiting with local groups and community organizations who are the, you know, people on the ground in our community, volunteers that talk to their neighbors, and that making sure that we can, by word of mouth, by good, solid communication through our city's communication department, and of course, through efforts of our CEO, Greg Wade, with CEA, actually get out in front of people and let them know that this is happening before they get a notice, mm-hmm. right? We don't want people to be surprised. And that's why we're here today, too. We want to invite people into our programs and make sure that they know that this is for the benefit of the community's energy resilience and our ability to survive climate change, and also for, in the long term, the sustainability and reliability of our energy grids, and hopefully in the future, cost savings for the customer.
So you said, you mentioned cost savings, and I want to talk a little bit more about that because, you know, it's expensive to live in Southern California. It's expensive to buy groceries, to drive a car, even just to live here. It's very expensive. And so I know people are really concerned about how is this program going to change what they spend on energy each month. And so I'm curious if you could give me even just, you know, I get my bill. I've chosen the plan the city has chosen for me. I'm sticking with what you picked, that mid-range plan, the mid-level plan. How will my bill change? Is it going up? Is it going down? Is it staying the same?
Could I ask Greg to clarify, would you be able to tell us, does SDG&E still offer some of their lower income programs while we're operating CEA?
Right. So there's two programs, CARE mm-hmm. and FERA, that are for low income customers. Those okay. programs stay the same. So if you're a CARE customer or a FERA customer, you'll still have that rate discount okay. built into this transition. That won't change. So.
Sure.
That's one thing to underscore. Before I respond to the question, I do want to preface by saying our primary function here and our primary goal is to address climate change, to address the what's called the renewable portfolio standard of cleaner energy into the grid in California, with the goal of reaching 100% renewable energy by 2035. So that's our goal. We're working towards that. As you've heard about the basic, the three levels of, mm-hmm. of product we offer, each one of them. And we're looking at actually increasing those as the years go by in the next several years right now. That's our primary function. That said, we've always maintained that we would provide competitive rates on the energy side. So I want to...
You can't control the delivery.
We cannot control the cost of delivery.
Right,
SDG&E sets mm-hmm. those rates independently.
Right.
And the good news is SDG&E just put out their rate forecast at the end of the year. And everyone's energy bill, at least for the next several months, will be going down as a whole, even in CEA. So the energy cost as a whole, that your bill that everybody gets, that total cost is expected to go down. For CEA, the customers that have already been enrolled that are we're serving energy to, not including Vista and Oceanside, have enjoyed since the inception of CEA rate benefits. In other words, the generation cost they've spent on that side of the bill has been less than what SDG&E has been
okay.
providing. So there's been rate savings enjoyed. That said, right now, the energy market, there's a lot of competitors out there in the renewable energy space buying and procuring this energy and providing it to their customers, has gone up dramatically. So right now, upon launch in April, there's going to be a very slight increase on the rate, the generation side. Think, anywhere from $1 to $3 for a residential, single-family residential house per month for the 50%, 75% GHG-free. That may not always be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Rates change, they fluctuate, summer, winter, SDG&E oftentimes, and there is another rate change coming that they're going to be moving forward with this month. So over the course of time, you may see that CEA customers enjoy a slight rate benefit. And so I just want to underscore that it's slight. We're talking about, as I said, about
$3
per month.
Okay.
I will say that in the past, we had a significant savings for some of our customers, upwards of $8 to $12 a month of savings Those days are starting to go away because of the energy markets. Can't say that they'll return, but again, our focus is on providing higher renewable content in the energy we buy and sell for the customer's benefit. So,
and that's great. And I do think that, I mean, obviously that's the overarching goal is to meet our climate action plan goals and all of that. But people also want to know if they can still buy the things they need to buy. And you hear these horror stories. I'm very thankful and very, very fortunate that my own personal home, we have a solar system, and so we're minimally impacted by rate changes with regard to electricity specifically. But I hear horror stories from friends who have hundreds of dollars in swing from month to month based on their energy use. And that's really hard to do and not have that predictability. So I appreciate, and I think everybody wants to move towards climate action goals, but we do have to be realistic about what should people expect with regard to their bill. And so a few dollars a month makes sense. And that's helpful for people to kind of understand what to expect.
And that's about where you end up. Yeah. But for that, you know, cost, whether it's a benefit or an extra cost, you do have availability of the programs we're talking about, hoping to get people involved in the Solar Plus program so that they have access to solar panel and better yet, battery storage, because that's become
a
real focus of our CCAs and our energy savings and grid reliability is the storage of energy.
And basically that means that individual users can generate their own energy from the sun on their own property and then store that energy to be used during times when it's cloudy or rainy or when there's not a sunny time.
Or when there's a peak demand in the summer. And summer rates are always higher than winter rates because that's when people use most energy. And so when there's a peak demand time, they have the ability to use that battery, which decreases their cost, but also to grid reliability takes pressure off the grid. So to the extent that we can roll this program out and get people signed up, it will be a big benefit. We're also looking at, which is what a lot of CCAs do, what's called a community or local solar program, which is for commercial and industrial users on a larger scale to do the same thing. And again, with storage, with solar, you can take pressure off the grid. You can provide energy and cost savings to those businesses and also provide a community benefit and CEA-wide for the energy that we're buying and selling in the market. So it's a really positive benefit.
That's a perfect segue because I want to ask you about businesses. So I like what you talked about with regard to the solar program and battery storage for businesses. We have Invista. We have a really diverse group of businesses here, anything from, you know, very small all the way up to very large manufacturings that have probably a significant load on our grid. And so it's great to know that there's potentially some options there. But I'm curious about this initial program. Is it just focused on residents? Is it also going to business clients? Is there a phase? How's that working?
So right now, the program that we're launching is just residents, so single family residents.
Okay.
Solar Plus program. And so that's the focus of that. We're currently working on a program for commercial and industrial local solar program that will benefit businesses. So that one hasn't launched yet. We're working on that now. And our hope is that we'll have some opportunities there. So we'll be going into the market in the next couple months here with that. And again, hoping to get some uptake from our businesses.
I'm confused. Yes. I guess what I'm asking you is for the overall program, the three plans that are being offered to folks, that's also for businesses.
Absolutely. It's all customers, residential and commercial customers. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That is for everybody. Anybody who has a meter, electric meter, is a part of the program and has the option to opt down, opt up, or opt out.
Okay.
One thing I want to make clear is for someone like you, if you live in one of the cities, then and you're a solar customer, a net energy metering customer, you will likely NEM customers will get their notices at different times based on the month of their true up. So if you're a NEM customer, you're pretty familiar with your bill. You have an annual true up.
Right.
That's the time you'll get your notice from CEA. So we've had some customers who are NEM customers contact us saying, "Hey, I haven't received a notice." And it's because we wait until they're true up to transition out. We worked with SDG&E extensively in Solana Beach to work this out, where NEM customers should be enrolled only at their true up. So there's
loss, it's seamless.
Yeah, exactly.
Or any of
so,
that. Right.
So whatever benefits they're accruing, you know, surplus generation with SDG&E, they won't lose that. And when they enroll with us, then it'll just be seamless.
Okay.
And that same true update will apply.
Got it. Is there anything else specifically about the CE enrollment process, the program? Is there anything that we haven't covered or talked about specific to that? Because I want to ask you a couple personal questions too.
I would just like to mention that our traditional means of procuring energy and our traditional energy market with, you know, dirty fossil fuels has resulted in the energy costs that we see now. As we transition to greenhouse gas-free energy sources and renewable energy sources, I think it's really important for people to recognize that we can bring this closer and closer to home. CEA is a publicly run organization, right? The board of directors is made up of publicly elected officials. And that's much different model than what you see with SDG&E.
Mm-hmm.
So the public will is very important to us, and they're really driving the conversation about local energy procurement and how we are resilient in our energy costs over the long term. So as we adjust in this transition and as we may see fluctuations, I encourage everyone to continue to stay engaged. The CEA board has public meetings where we discuss a lot of these topics. And so I think it's important to recognize that it may be unfamiliar to a lot of people, but this is actually a really empowering opportunity for the public to have ownership of their energy.
Great.
Yeah, and I would just add in terms of what we haven't talked about and in terms of launching, I just want to underscore that really for the customer, there's no big difference in what's going to happen in terms of their billing, the amount they pay. And one of the misconceptions is, and we see this sometimes on, community forums, whether it be Facebook or Nextdoor, comments, whether it's in CEA territory, SDCP, that, oh, as soon as I enrolled, my electricity bill went doubled. I just want to make clear that that is not a result of being involved in a community choice aggregation program. We index our rates to the generation costs that SDG&E would otherwise charge. But the delivery costs, all the costs have started to escalate with the demand for energy, the requirement to procure more renewable. And so I just want to make it clear that customers who stay with CEA, even those who opt up to 100% or opt down, are not going to see any significant difference in their overall bill other than what is already going to happen with delivery and other costs.
And so, regular fluctuations.
Exactly,
in the market.
Regular market fluctuations.
Yeah.
And so I just want to make sure that people understand that.
Yeah.
I also want to say that I will make myself available to the community for those policy discussions. But CEA also provides customer service. So, mm-hmm. Greg, could you speak to customer service for folks as they're enrolling?
Yes. We have a very responsive customer service partner. They handle phone calls, emails in rapid response time. And if there is something, we actually meet with them on a regular basis, met with them yesterday in the interest of the Vista and Oceanside enrollment to make sure that customers who have these questions that don't believe they're getting the quick answer can be forwarded to us and our staff. I'm happy to talk to people personally about mm-hmm. these things. And so we're looking at a way to get us, because we now have a staff to handle some of these inquiries, we're available too, just as our policymakers and our board members are. So they are really good at handling these customer calls, and they're a great partner. They'll answer the phone, they'll talk to you, or they'll get back to you if you have to leave a message or email. And so very happy with that responsiveness, but we'd like to take it up a notch so that customers feel like they have a person they can talk to at CEA about some of their questions. So
great. And we'll make sure to link in the show notes all of the links to the programs on the city's website, as well as any kind of FAQ kind of questions and links in the show notes. So I want to switch gears. Thank you so much for talking about this program. But I just, Greg, while I have you here, you're now the CEO of this Clean Energy Alliance. You have all of these cities that have joined. It's becoming kind of a bigger organization. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, you know, you came from city management, from local government, and I'm curious what led you to leave city management and jump over to CEA?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I will say that when I arrived in Solana Beach, one of the first tasks I was asked to undertake was looking at CCA. You know, that was Solana Beach had been looking at this again with the cities, local cities in the area, and the council gave me direction. And Dan King and I are the assistant city manager, now interim city manager there. We dove into it, and I have to say that the world we found was a very it had been going up on and up in Northern California for quite some time. Just an incredibly inspiring group of people as a whole, very helpful, willing to give of their time at any moment's notice, and we relied upon that to get that program up and running. And so I think it was that introduction to the world of CCA, but also a city like Solana Beach, and just in my own personal background, having studied environmental studies and environmental programs throughout my career, it was something that was important to me just on a personal level. And so something I'd always been fortunate in my career, both in, I spent some time in Imperial Beach and Solana Beach, where our policymakers were really devoted to the environment and to maintaining a quality of life that a lot of which nowadays revolves around protecting our climate, protecting our environment. So it seemed like a pretty good transition. I'd been there 8.5 years. I had familiarity with what CCA was. I was interested in this is sort of the twilight of my career, I will say. I'm here for some time. I still have some time to go, but I just thought it was a great opportunity to give something more to a program that I really enjoyed working in, a space I enjoyed working in, and advancing clean energy goals for a huge spectrum of people, a diverse spectrum of people. That's the other thing I was really interested in doing is making these energy choices and programs available not just to people who have means that can afford to do things like put solar on their house, but hopefully to broaden that into the community at large that may not otherwise have opportunity to get entrance into those programs. So it just seemed like a really great fit, and I was excited and honored by being given the opportunity. So.
That's great. Well, it's so interesting too, because in city management, you really have to be a generalist. You have to know about everything, and you have to rely on your team to know about everything and be kind of the subject matter experts. But if you find in that work something specific about that work that connects to your passions, it's nice to have that opportunity to then further explore that and to have an opportunity to lead an organization that's doing really, honestly, cutting edge things. In San Diego County, we have a really great environment for collaboration. That's one of the things that I think differentiates particularly North County from other regions of the country is that our level of collaboration. So kudos to you for being selected for this role and to be able to lead this initiative centered on collaboration and focus on, fighting climate change. So thank you for your time today.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Great to be here. Thanks
for having us. We're lucky to have him.
Yeah, that's great. So, and I just want to ask you also, Katie, I know that, the Climate Action Plan and working in this effort is important to you. So just wanted to give you an opportunity to share kind of why is this so important to you?
Well, we only have one planet, and I'm very lucky to be here on this planet and have the opportunity to serve in Vista, where I was born and raised. And I think the biggest thing for me when it comes to climate action is the personal health impacts that I have seen our community experience. Not only is our community impacted by pollution, right, and air quality, but we have greater and greater risks every year of weather extremes, wildfires, and flooding. That can be detrimental, especially for communities like Vista and some of my neighborhoods that don't have the means to pick themselves back up after a disaster. So for me, it's really about the long-term vision of surviving as a community And making sure that I protect my community from the risks of climate change. Plus, there's nothing more amazing than the beauty of our environment, and I really want to preserve that as well. So being a part of this process, being able to serve as vice chair on CEA and have a city and a Vista City Council that is motivated to address climate change, I think that that's really important. I think it's what the community wants, but so many other needs oftentimes fall, in front of being a good steward of the environment. So I really appreciate what Greg said, where it's an opportunity for us to provide renewable energy options to the everyday person, the everyday working family in Vista, that really does care about the environment, but they don't necessarily have, the ability to invest in solar for their own roof, yet they can still find at least 50% renewable energy sources through CEA. So I'm really passionate about being able to provide those solutions to people.
Great. Thank you so much. So I end every episode with a couple of rapid fire questions. So I'm going to hit you now with these. Hopefully you thought about them. Give you a little heads up. So I want to know, Greg, first to you, tell me a book that maybe everyone should read, a book that was important to you. Give me a book recommendation.
Wow. I thought about this. One that I reread recently was The Alchemist, and I really enjoyed that book. And then another one that I just think is a really good way of looking at life is Eckhart Tolle's Power of Now.
Mm-hmm.
And
both great. Both great.
So that's two.
Okay. Okay. I'll let it slide. All right, Katie, what about you?
I have kind of a silly answer. So this week is Read Across America week, and I was able to start my day with some third graders over at Grapevine Elementary. And it also happens to be my birthday today.
Oh, so happy birthday. Right.
Thank you. Thank you. And it was great being able to get in front of the kids and just have that joy first thing of the day. And we read Go, Dog, Go, which is a classic.
I can recite it from memory right now.
And one of my favorites, yeah. Right? Do you like my hat? Right? All of it.
I do not like that hat.
All the dogs. It was so cute. And the kids were so engaged and fun. So I have to say that that's my favorite book at the moment.
I love it. I love it. It's a dog party, a big dog party.
Yes.
Black dogs and white dogs. I
know
it.
You know the whole
thing. I really do. I really do.
I love that.
Read it to my kids 1,000 times. Okay. So next question. Greg, what's your jam? Tell me a song you love.
Oh, man, I'm old school. And one of my favorite songs, and I wish the pandemic didn't kind of put it in the public eye so much, but Imagine by John Lennon.
Yeah,
and then,
it's beautiful.
His partner in collaboration, Let It Be, are my two favorite songs.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love the Beatles. So I grew up listening to the Beatles all the time with my dad. So that's a great pick. For sure.
What about you?
I have been listening to a lot of a little bit heavier stuff, Disturbed lately. I have, just a CD that's been playing in my car lately. There's some really powerful lyrics, right? Like liberate your mind. And I think that's just been really hitting lately.
I'm impressed you have a CD player in your car. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I also drive a stick shift. So
okay.
Full of surprises, nice. That okay. Old thing.
Okay.
Oh, if I had to put in a plug for a band that's contemporary that I listen to, that is the Avett Brothers.
They're good. Okay, yeah. I think that we're maybe music twins. So that's good. I'm sorry, I don't know Disturbed, but I will look it up immediately. Cool. Okay. So Katie, tell me something that inspires you.
I'm inspired by the stories I hear from people. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, my favorite thing about being an elected official is going into the neighborhood and talking to people and going to their door and knocking on their door. And maybe it's to discuss a certain project, or maybe it's just to check in, but to really meet people where they're at. And there's nothing better than being able to connect with the community in that way. And it always inspires me. Every single time I get on the ground and I go into my neighborhoods and talk to people, I hear what they're struggling with. I understand what they're motivated by every day. And everyone in our community is really awesome. And I'm so lucky to be able to serve. So when I get to speak to people directly, it really inspires me to put forward my best as an elected official.
Great. Thank you. All right, Greg, what inspires you?
This is, I guess I would just say kindness and public service. You know, in this day and age, we see far too much acrimony and vitriol in our public dialogue. And it saddens me. What inspires me most is when we see people coming together in times typically of great tragedy, where the human condition is really at its core helpful, where people band together and support one another regardless of where they come from. That's what inspires me. And from that perspective, our youth who are doing those kinds of things is really inspiring to me. People who get involved. I had a chance, and Vice Chair Melendez was there too, the local NAACP Youth Council brunch two weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to attend that. Hugely inspiring to see young people who are working in their daily lives beyond just doing their schoolwork, doing things for the public good. And that to me is inspiring, is when people are out there doing things of benefit to the surrounding community without regard to themselves. So that's what inspires me the most.
I love it. All right, last one. A Vista business that deserves a shout out. I'll look to you first, Greg.
Well, it's not a business, but I'll say City of Vista.
Okay,
because they opted up to 100% renewable energy for the municipal accounts. That's policymakers like Councilmember Melendez, or now our Vice Chair Melendez. That kind of leadership is impressive, and it's important, and it sets an example for others to follow.
Love it. All right.
Oh, this one's hard. There's so many great businesses. But I have to say, Melrose Animal Hospital. Mm-hmm. Recently, I had to take my dog in because she was in an accident, and they were so calm and so helpful, and they completely saved the day. So I have to shout them out.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you to our guest, Greg Wade, and Deputy Mayor Katie Melendez. And thank you for listening to Velocity. If you like what you heard, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and tell a friend. Help us move Vista forward with Velocity. The Vista Chamber of Commerce is a nonprofit organization that serves as a catalyst for business growth. Find us online at vistachamber.org.